Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book, In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Does this work, this landscape?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can grab us at Spotify, at Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget also, give the series a rating, leave a review. That always helps out so much. We've had some great guests on lately, including actors Nathan Stewart Jarrett and George McKay. They both star in the movie Femme. Rudy Mancuso was here. His new movie, Musica, is out now. Hamish Linklater starring in Manhunt on Apple TV+. Gary Clark Jr., he's got a new album. Sheryl Crow, she does as well. Desi Leidick of The Daily Show was here. Danielle McDonald from The Tourist. The Jesus and Mary Chain, The Veronicas. Adrian Linker from Big Thief. Chris Robinson from The Black Crows. Joe Keery from Stranger Things and Fargo. And our 900th episode special featuring Brandon Flowers of The Killers, Gracie Abrams, Michael C. Hall, Dolly Parton, Michael Shannon, Sarah Silverman, and Shelley Hennig. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with comedian Martin Amini. He's got a special out called I'm Transcending that we're going to be talking about. A new one on the way, too, called Back in the Gym. We'll talk about this new moment of success that he's found himself in, the speed of having to come up with new material in the TikTok age, and the importance and rich history of the DC scene that he came up in. Martin's also going to describe his crowd work techniques and the fun of getting two single people who don't know each other to kiss at his shows. And we'll talk some music as well, including some of his favorite 90s hip-hop artists. We get all that and more. We're talking I'm Transcending. It's Kyle Meredith with Martin Amini.
Yeah, I like your backdrop too. Are you doing it in a studio? Is this like your studio?
This is real, yeah. This is everybody back here is much cooler than I am, and that's on purpose.
Those are the coolest guys in the world. David Bowie and Prince. It doesn't get any cooler than that.
No. I ask this every now and then, but you know, if you had the posters, what would they be?
Right. That's it's crazy because I'm going through different phases right now, but I mean I grew up on 90s hip hop, and Jay-Z's probably one of the more timeless artists that's like still relevant from when I was a kid to now, so I definitely have him up there. I like 90s rap is very nostalgic too, and then also like the Fugees played a big role in my music, like, you know, just catalog. So I'd probably have like the Fugees, like the Score album cover, probably some Bone Thugs and Harmony, and then and then I try to mix it up. I probably have like different like genres too. I'm a 90s baby, I think.
I was just listening to It was a mashup record back when people still did those. It was Jay-Z and Radiohead called Jadiohead.
Yeah.
I found a rip on vinyl at some point. I'm sure not sanctioned by anybody, but I think I just had that on last night, actually. And that's seriously some good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Those smash-ups were like, they had a moment. I remember the Linkin Park and Jay-Z smash-ups.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they don't do that as much anymore. I don't know why, but...
Like, Girl Talk took it, I think, as far as somebody wanted to take it. And then everybody's like, all right, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, you got this new special called I'm Transcending. That was really, really great and really, really funny. And this comes on the heels of things starting to blow up. I mean, you've been doing this, I think you said in the special, for a decade now.
Yeah.
And traction just starts picking up. And, you know, it's different when you're in it because so much of it is work. But what is it like finally realizing a moment that's happening like this?
You know, that's a good question, because moments are very hard to come by. And I think when the moment is happening, the last thing you want is to lose the moment and not execute during that moment. And so that's what it feels like. It feels like, you know, when you play Super Mario and you get the star, you know, that you remember that.
Right. Yeah.
And then you're like, you know, and then you can just like, you just want to do as much damage as you can with that. When you got that star, you're like, you know, and so that's what it feels like. I got the star right now. And I'm like, I'm faster, I'm stronger. The following is every week, it's exponentially growing. And I just want to make sure I just, you know, seize the moment and also enjoy it. And now it's an exciting time to be a comedian and an artist in this new landscape of social media, and sky's the limit, you know. So I'm ready to go. I mean, this tour, we just kicked it off. It's 40 cities, 3 continents, and yeah, this is the most exciting time of my career, easily.
And for that to be, for I'm Transcending to be, I don't know if you look at it as your calling card, because that does, having that set out there now put every bit of that set in the past.
Yes. Yeah. That is my way of retiring jokes that I wrote in 2017, 18, while living at my parents' house, broke. I'm going to be putting out another project within the next 2 weeks that's more up to date. But I just wanted to retire some of those classic bits, and in a nice theater, you know, where I feel like those jokes deserve to be in a theater. And then now we can move forward. And I'm actually so excited to be turning to the next chapter. You know, just like, I don't know what it's like for musicians, but it's like, as a comic doing the same jokes for years, it's hard, you know. And I've grown so much from that special and from those jokes that it's like, I'm just happy to be moving forward. And I'm happy with the title of the special too, because that's the energy I want to put out. I'm just like, I can't wait for my audience to see the next stuff that comes out. It's going to be great.
I wonder if that's like a double-edged blade a little bit, because once you become popular, as you say, it's like, oh, I can finally stop performing the same stuff. Like, but also now you're on the clock. Now it's,
yes.
Yeah. You don't get 5 years on a joke anymore. Like, that just can't happen. Right.
Not just with all the eyes on you, but just the landscape. I mean, thank God I came up in the generation I did, where like we were forced to learn how to write a joke to succeed. But now this new generation they don't have the time. I mean, these poor kids, they're watching guys like me put out crowd work clips or social media every day. And for these new generation to feel like they have a shot at this, because now you have to have an audience, you got to know how to do social media, you have to be a video editor, a cinematographer. It's completely different from when I started. You got to be your own like publicist. It's like, you know, I think, I have to turn out jokes faster because I'm on tour and people want to see the new stuff. So, you know, but these are all good problems to have. These are like, you know, like the rich dad, poor dad, like these are rich dad problems. You know, it's like, I'm on the other side now. It's like, bro, if these are my problems, life is good.
And we'll be right back right after this.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Martin Amini. Do you find that there was a moment when you really felt like you found your voice? Because hearing you talk about cultures and you know how you see the world because of that. I mean, and so much of that, I feel like, is the portal that leads into everything else that you've talked about up until this point. Like, was there that moments in that past decade where you went, I've got it. This is me.
Yeah, I think once I started seeing, I made my name in Washington, D.C., my hometown, where I started comedy in the open mic circuit, worked my way up to the top where, you know, I was one of the local favorites. And once I started seeing people gravitate towards me and wanted to see my full hour instead of like a 10-minute set at a bar or somewhere where they saw me. And I said, okay, I'm on to something, because people want to hear more. People want to know what are my thoughts on certain topics? What are my thoughts on, you know, pop culture, you know, what are my thoughts on, you know, certain political things? What's my take? And once I started seeing people just wanted to know what I feel about certain things, I was like, okay, this is the sweet spot for an artist to create. Cause now you can just create, without any like limitations. You could just like, all right, man, let me just be myself. And, I'm able to earn a living being yourself. Is like, that's really the sweet spot of art. Like, when you could just pay your bills and get to be yourself, there's no better feeling. And so when I saw that happen year 7, year 8, year 9, that's when I was like, okay, let's just lean into this. And then the rest was history, you know?
You coming up in the DC scene, I can't put my finger on DC, you know? One of those things, right. Like, because it's close to 3 or 4 different things, and it's such a big, you know, focal point of the country always. And even when I think of the music that came out of there, you know, you've got Dave Grohl and Tori Amos, but that also doesn't make sense to the landscape. Like, what is DC, and how much of DC being what it is, like, helped you become what you are?
Well, it's a transient city. We have a lot of rich history and art and comedy. To name a few names, Patton Oswalt, Dave Chappelle, Wanda Sykes, Martin Lawrence, Tommy Davidson. These are all names that came out of the DC area. And it shaped who I am. I mean, it's one of the most educated cities in the country, mainly because of like the amount of colleges in like a per mile, like you have GW, Georgetown, Howard University, American University, and these are all within like 5 miles of like all the comedy clubs. So, you know, it's a city where they force you to learn how to write. You have to write articulate jokes to connect with the audience. And then you have like your local, you know, the local people who grew up in the area, where it's like they force you to have a little bit of edge and force you to connect with like, you know, what's going on in the city. And so it was like the perfect balance, man. Like, just being from here, being able to get exposure to people who move here from other parts of the country and who are also very educated. So when I moved to cities like LA, a lot of my writing held up, and that's what really, you know, was a testament to your initial scene where you came up in. So that's really, I think a lot of comedy scenes take pride in like the writing and who came up where, and that's like, oh, that's a Chicago comic or that's a New York comic. And for DC, you know, we have our own voice too.
So the other side of you, and you mentioned it earlier, is that crowd work though, and you've become really known for that. You are really good at that. And that is such a trust fall for anybody, because that's hands off the wheel moment, right? Like like what is the art of crowd work? If you can distill it.
So sure. No, crowd work is, it's, you know, comedy's version of freestyling, you know, like in rap, you have your freestyle artists. I grew up watching, you know, MTV Unplugged or like BET, like Big Tigga in the Basement, where people would, you know, they had to have cyphers and stuff like that. And so, I talk about it a little bit in the special where, roasting is a big part of our culture, you know, where, you know, a lot of my comedy is inspired from the bus stop as a young kid, where we're waiting for the school bus and we're all just kind of making fun of each other's outfit to pass the time. And it was almost like sport, you know? And I don't say it in my special, but I've said it in a few other shows. I wasn't even the funniest kid at my bus stop. I was like the third funniest, but I was the only one with the foresight to Google open mics in DC. And you know, it's just, I'm just a product of my environment. And that's why I think the city gravitate towards me. I think that's why a lot of cities have embraced me, because I just, you know, I kind of just share my story. I'm authentic. And I think that in 2024 landscape, just being authentic and being an original voice still takes you a long way in any art form. So I think that's what we're people are hungry for still.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a cliche term when you're talking about that, when you're talking about like there's so much noise out there, being a real authentic voice. Like that's almost, like it's weird that it's true, I guess. I don't know why I feel like that.
Well, if you study art, if you study like music or you know comedy, just look at the artist who just has the longest career. You know, it's people who are able to, you know, they develop their voice, they're authentic, and like there's a consistency, you know, that you don't lose. And I think your fans, you know, they want something new, but they want something that feels the same at the same time. Right. And so it's like, how do you give them that? And it's like, well, just kind of like find your voice and then just stay true to your, stay authentic. And I think you never have to worry about losing your fans because you're just being yourself.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Martin Amini. Well, seeing the stuff you do, and we're talking about crowd work. And of course, it's the kissing that started happening. Like, when did that? So for anybody who doesn't know, of course, you will regularly find two single people and talk them into kissing each other on stage in front of everyone.
Well, yeah, because of the way Instagram is formatted, where sometimes you get up to 90 seconds, I kind of speed cut to the kissing, but there, you know, there is some, there's a process to it. There's some vetting. There's obviously, you know, consent. but yeah, we do find some people who are single. It's evolved, right? Like, you know, if you see a lot of crowd work online, it's a lot of the typical formats like, what's your name, what do you do, where are you from? And you know, I just wanted to take it up a notch further, right, and set myself apart from the other comics doing the same thing. And I said, well, like, you know, let's see if I could bring you on stage and then find someone who's compatible with you. And then once I find that compatibility, one thing leads to another, and now the audience gets involved. They start chanting, you know, kiss in Spanish, which is beso. And it becomes like a whole thing where it's like, you know, it's a very live and entertaining show. And yeah, I just take a lot of pride in people just enjoying it, having fun and trying to find their match in 2024 at my show.
Do you find that they start performing when they're up there?
You know, I think it's so interesting to see personalities come out in front of a packed room, you know. But my job as the MC, like, you know, as the comic, is to kind of like diffuse any tension and try to make them feel as comfortable as not, and let them, remind them that, you know, obviously, like, this is totally up to you, the woman, to choose who you want to be compatible, you know, who you want to go with. And typically it always, that's why it works out, because they get to choose. Everyone gets to choose who they want. And yeah, there's a lot, I think the live element of it, like the audience being so like into it, gives it more of a energy and momentum to finding your match.
Now, on the other side, making the audience feel as comfortable as possible, you also have figured out the art of the dark joke as well.
And, yeah.
You know, and you lay it out. I'm talking about in the special, at least. You lay it out, you give everybody fair warning, and then you lay into it. How, like, I'll ask in a similar way, how much of that is the trust fall? Because especially, as you're saying, in the social media world, when things can be taken with this much context.
Right. You know, it's you got to pick your moments. And I put that joke specifically in my special at the end of it, because by that time, hopefully you get a feel for my intentions. You get a feel for my voice, my authenticity. And I'm not just saying words to win people over. It's just me just sharing my story. And it's placed strategically towards the end because, it's kind of like it's not for everyone. But at the same time, it's a part of my story where I talk about my mom and my father, my upbringing. And that type of subject matter, I feel like, separates me from a lot of other comics that don't want to touch on those type of things. And I think that's why I'm able to build my audience the way I do, is because I'm not scared to go certain places in sharing my story.
And it's a big story. I mean, they'll see it on there, you know, talk about the blended culture, Iranian father, Bolivian mother. I feel like that just lends itself, if you want to so much comedy in itself. Like I feel like you were gifted something with this.
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely gifted something, whether it's trauma or comedy, or both. It's, I'm just happy to share the story and find the fun in it. And I think that's what was the gift, is just like learning how to make light of any type of situation, whether it's awkward or tense. I think we could all use more levity and laughter at this stage of our lives, you know?
Well, I certainly appreciate what you're doing out there. It's a great special. I'm transcending. I'm really looking forward to what you've just teased with whatever comes next. So
thank you, man. No, I'm going to definitely send you that individually, like, so you can take a look at the new thing that's coming out. Was filmed at the comedy club that I own in Washington, D.C., called Room 808. I opened it 3 years ago. It's a 56 seater. But to just see me, it's gonna be called Back in the Gym. It's just me running new material mixed with some crowd work. But the contrast between me and a theater over 1,200 people and a 50 seater is so cool, because the theater is a big production. There's a lot of cameras. It's the whole city's coming out. But really, to me, the best art is seeing when you're making it, like when it's like right in front of you with the notebook. And I can't wait to show the audience how I create, and sharing a joke when it's first formed. It's kind of like a fruit. I think like it's the most freshest. And that's probably like my biggest takeaway with my new special, Transcending. It's like, I'm so proud of it, but these are jokes written in 2018 and 19. So the new jokes I'm putting out is from 2024. So I'm just so excited for people to see like the brand new jokes. I've never done this before. Like, I've never put out jokes a month after writing it. But again, because of the new landscape, I think this is where we're at as like a content, driven society now. Like, you got to put stuff out faster. And I think it's really cool. And it's a lot of pressure to write something that fast and put it out. But like, I just want people to consume something that when it's ready to watch. So I'll send that to you over once it's edited and everything.
I can't wait. Please do. I look forward to watching. And we'll see you out there on the road. It sounds like you're going to be out there forever this year. So
yes.
Congrats on all the success, Martin. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you, Kyle. Take care. Bye bye.
And my thanks to Martin. The latest special is called I'm Transcending. And thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions. Or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And again, while you're there, please do give the series a rating. If you feel inspired, leave a review as well. After that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows features some classics and favorites from MC5, The Laws, Sheryl Crow, Steven Sanchez, The Beastie Boys, Green Apple Quickstep, M. Ward, Idols with LCD Sound System, The High Women, Wilson Pickett, Squirrel Nut Zippers, and my interview with lead singer of Blur and Gorillaz, the one and only Mr. Damon Albarn. Just an example of what you can hear every weeknight, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Very cool, man.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.